You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Proverbs 3. We started last week teaching on overcoming fear and how that fear really is something we've been delivered from. Jesus came to deliver them who through all their lifetime were subject to bondage through fear of death. And Isaiah 41:10 tells us that God said he's with us. Fear thou not, I am with you. I will help you. I will sustain you with my right. I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand. Fear of man brings a snare, the Bible says in Proverbs 29:25. And so fear is not from God. Now there's a reverence for God, a fear of God. That's a different kind of fear. We respect and honor and stand in awe of God. And then there's just outright a scared, as we say in these texts, you know. And God doesn't want you to live that way. In fact, that's the devil's tool. Just as faith is acting on God's word, fear is acting on the devil's word, really. Faith is acting on the positives that God gives us through his promises. Fear is acting on the negatives that we feel and the thoughts that come to our minds when tragedy happens. Tragedy is going to happen. Crisis is going to take place. But you don't have to act in fear concerning it. You're going to shake. Your liver is going to quiver. Your lips going to shake. Are you with me? But it doesn't mean you have to act on it. And so fear, don't think of fear as just being a feeling. Don't think of it as just being emotion. We can't help that. Sometimes those emotions come. We hear a bad report. The fear hits us. What you do is you do continually act on the word and you don't act on that emotion. And really when you look at it this way, and this is what I'm going to teach on this morning, is that fear is a great distractor. It shifts our focus. It robs our focus. It blindsides us. It gets us off track. And when we're in fear and acting in fear, we cease to see the big picture. We're focused on this one little thing that has just happened. And it's got us, and it's going to determine our whole life and our future, and everything's going to hinge around this one thing that just happened, this bad report or this tragedy that just took place. That, to me, is a dangerous thing. We need to continually see the big picture. We need not lose sight of what really is going on here, the whole truth, not just a truth. And fear may bring to us a fact, but it's not bringing for us all the facts. It may be bringing for us in front of us an event, but it's not bringing in front of us all events. And so the danger is to just get sidetracked. You know, it's you don't want to be overcome by the power of the moment, you know, or the immediate, or what is happening right now, and forget the big picture, what this is all about, what we're doing. You know, I often say this, and I read this in a book somewhere, when you're on top of the world and things are going your way and you're, you know, spiritually on a high, as it were, make your plans. And when you're down and you're depressed and the clouds of depression are rolling in and nothing's going right, work the plan. Just work the plan. Amen? Do it because it's right, not because you feel like it, not because everything's going your way, but because you know it's right. You made that plan while you were praying and seeking God and on a high spiritually. It's a good plan. Keep working it. You know, it's just like a job. You get a job. Sometimes you're excited about it. New broom sweeps the cleanest, as they say. You know, first few days, and then kind of the mundane kind of creeps in on you, and then, you know, and you start getting nothing's new, and it's kind of boring, and you don't feel like going. You know what you need to do? Get up and go to work. Work the plan. Are you with me? Just work it. Sometimes we're excited in a church service. We get a hold of a truth, you know, that we need to hear, something concerning our lives, that we need a promise that we need to stand on, or God burns or explodes something in us that we go, wow, that's what I need. That's exactly what I need to do. And then you walk out of here and the atmosphere of the church is not here with us. The worship's not here with us. And Monday morning starts, are you with me? And you get up and you go to work and you tend to forget, because the feeling's not there, the excitement's not there, you tend to forget that that truth's still true. That revelation's still good. Are you with me? Don't let the world rob you of God's blessing, or rob you of revelation, or rob you of what God wants to do in your life. Don't be overcome by evil reports and gossip and rumors. And you know, these all represent partial information. It's not real mature to base your life on partial information. You need to get all the facts. Remember Dragnet? Just the facts, man. Just the facts. Of course, you say that today, most people are going, well, we don't have facts, we just email. anyway. But you got to get all the facts. You know, sometimes you ever read any mystery stories or watched a detective story or a movie or even, you know, some of those reality Crime Stopper deals, you know. And they'll start giving you all this information, and you're looking at it, and you're listening along here, and boy, you got this guy pegged. You got to figure out, you know exactly who killed this guy. And then when you get to the end of it, you realize, oh, wow, he's not the guy. Because you didn't have all the information. Are you with me? And you begin to see, well, no, he couldn't have done that. But you were convinced up to that point he did because you didn't have all the facts. Hello. Or sometimes they get off, you know. The gloves don't fit. You must have quit. Because that, anyway, okay, didn't get started on all that. But we don't want to get so easily distracted, as it were. You know, God has something to say. We need to hold on to that. And nothing that's going to happen to you today or tomorrow or the rest of your life is going to change what God says. No tragedy, no bad report, no failure, no event is going to change the promise. We don't build doctrine or form doctrine or create doctrine or define doctrine by what happens to you and me. Doctrine is not defined by experience. It's defined by God's Word. Are you with me? So no experience I had can undo the promise of God. And I need to hold on to it. Any of y'all ever saw that movie, was that animated show, Up, where this old man had balloons on his house and he wanted to get away and go to this place? And, well, anyway, he got to this kind of strange, it's a kid movie, and I've watched every kid movie there is because I have 18 grandchildren. I used to never watch them. That's all I watch anymore now. But in that movie, this old man, you know, he's got this Boy Scout that was a Cub Scout knocking on his door when the house went up, and so he went with the guy. And they got to this land somewhere where there's this evil genius, you know, and he's got all these dogs that can talk. He puts a collar on the dogs, and the dogs can talk. And so this dog runs up to him when they land in this place, this house, you know, sets foot over here. And he just runs up and starts talking to him. This dog's just talking away. I mean, just like they are talking. But the problem is he's still a dog. And so when he's talking, he's just talking along, talking about the weather. Well, boy, it sure has rained a lot out here. Boy, those clouds, he's talking real fast. He goes, squirrel. He sees a squirrel. And I mean, it just robs his whole attention. His whole focus just changes because something he saw at the periphery out of the corner of his eye, you know, he's rolling right here, squirrel. And that's kind of the way we are, isn't it? I mean, we're believing God, we're serving God, we're standing on the Word, and squirrel. Some pain, some bad report. And the whole point is to rob your focus. It's to get you distracted. I mean, that's the way magicians do their acts. Come on. I mean, their whole, if you ever listen to a magician or talk to a magician, they'll tell you very simply, is they take your focus off of what they're trying to do onto something else. Whether it's pulling a coin out of your ear or a rabbit out of the hat, you know, you didn't see what happened because he deceptively made you look somewhere else so he could do something over here. Hello. And that's what the devil does. He wants to get us distracted so we don't see what he's doing. And what he's trying to do is destroy us, ruin us, and mess up our marriage and our bodies and our finances and our lives and our emotional makeup. We don't need to buy that lie. You ever seen pickpockets, you know, on real pickpockets on TV, on real, not movies, but where they actually do, they'll get on a talk show and they'll demonstrate how they can pick a guy's pocket and whatever. I've seen them untie a guy's tie one time, one of the hosts, and took it off. But he just walked up to him and he was pushing over here and here and like this, and before long he walked off and he said, what did you do? And he held his tie. He got his tie off of him. But he did it by distracting him, see, and getting his, we lost this focus, and he got to looking at something else, you know, and they'll push up your side over here and take your wallet out, or they'll put your attention over here, another guy over here will grab your attention, somebody come up behind you and get something. Distractions rob you. That's the way pickpockets work, magicians work, and that's what was wrong with that dog on the movie Up. Oh, we worked that in. But anyway, fear is that way. Fear is an emotion. It's a reaction. And we don't need to live our life reacting to things. We need to live our life continually acting on the Word of God. We need to stay focused. We need to stay the course. We need to see the big picture here. There's more going on than that thing that just happened. or that feeling that just came, or that bad news we just heard. Now, we got to deal with it. I understand that. But we don't change who we are. We don't change our purpose. We don't change our direction. And we don't change our trust and our faith and our confidence in God. Hallelujah. No matter what happens in your life or my life, you need to determine, and I need to determine, that whatever happens, I don't know the future, but whatever happens, I'm going to trust God. You're going to trust God. Amen? That's not going to change. That's what we do. We're believers. Amen? We pray. We seek God. We trust God. So don't let squirrel get you off track. Stay focused. Proverbs 3, y'all found it? Proverbs 3rd chapter. Notice what it says here in the 25th verse in talking about fear, because that's I'm going to kind of connect that with what we're talking about here. About losing focus. We're talking about seeing the big picture. Seeing the big picture. Not letting the little events and little things happening rob us of the big picture. Sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees. Are you with me? We're focused on one little tree and there's a whole forest here. We're missing it because we're not getting the big picture. Proverbs 3:25 says, "Do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor trouble from the wicked when it comes." I like that. Because sudden fear is something that's immediate, something that's quick. If something happens, you're sucker punched, as it were. You know, so you walk in the house and the kid's standing behind the door, you know, and boo, you know. And then you just shake all over for a moment, and then you get your belt off and go chase that kid all around out of the house. That's sudden fear. That's something that just happens like that. And sometimes we have that. That happens to everybody. You can't help it. But he says, it's interesting, be not afraid of sudden fear. When you're rattled and you shake and you're shocked. Are you with me? Just calm down. Get a hold of yourself. Don't be afraid of the sudden fear. Fear. See, fear in this sense, what God's talking about, be not afraid. He's saying don't act on it. Don't continually meditate, think on it, and act on it. The feeling of fear is not something we can do a whole lot about. That comes to everybody. Acting on the fear is our choice, or not acting on it. Everybody feels fear. Everybody feels it. I don't care if you do any new venture that you step off into, any new job you go work on, any new direction in your life, there's always going to be some fear. I don't care who you are. Every actor or actress that auditions has fear when they go to, I don't care who they are. There's always a fear. When you go interview on a job, there's always a fear. Anything new that you do, any change of the normal, you know, we don't like change. We're kind of like cats. You ever change the furniture in a house if you have a cat? Cats are straight. It takes them forever to figure that out. I mean, they'll run through the house and run around chairs and tables, and if you move a chair or a table or a couch, they'll run right into it. Because their mind, they know where everything is, and they're just, it's all second nature. It takes them a while to adjust. They don't like change. Hello. And we've got to understand that life is change. It's got all kinds of change in it, but God doesn't change. Are you with me? There's always going to be new ventures. You don't need to be afraid. That butterfly in your stomach, don't worry about it. I heard Joel Osteen say one time, they asked him about preaching, you know, because he never did a Bible school, Bible study, never did a prayer meeting, never did a class at Lakewood. I mean, we knew those things. You know, we were there from 1975 to 1982 when we came up here. And Joel was just a kid, you know, when we started going. And just very kind, very, very humble, very sweet, respectful young man. Always was. But preaching, teaching, he never did that. Not at all. Now, Lisa, the oldest girl, Lisa, she's a preaching machine, man. She is just awesome. But when Joel did his first message a week before his daddy passed away, and then God moved on Joel to take that church in another direction, people ask him about that, you know, weren't you a little nervous when you got up there and preached? He said, nervous? He said, I didn't have butterflies. I had buzzards in my stomach. I thought, boy, that was, can you imagine stepping into that pulpit? And hey, that was a big church back then. It was 8,000 to 10,000 people when he took it over when his daddy passed away. Of course, it's huge now. I don't know what it is now. They seat 16,000 people on a Sunday morning. They have three services on Sunday morning. And that doesn't count the youth or the nurseries. I think they have over 500 bed babies in the nursery, just bed babies. Wow. But I mean, and they have more security guards than we have people in our church. literally, they have hundreds of security guards just walking around, you know, talking on the microphones. And, I mean, it's just amazing, the walkie-talkies that they got. But they've got every department you can imagine. The youth is thousands, you know, broken down to all kinds. But, you know, you think he wasn't nervous about that? I would submit to you, I think Joe's probably still a little nervous when he gets up each time he gets up. But he just goes right on through it, and he does what he knows he's supposed to do. He's prayed about it. He sought God. He knows what God wants to say, and he gets up there and he says it. You know, there's a certain trepidation, a certain nervousness, a certain fear that comes with anything new. When I go out and preach, I can feel that when I get up in a new setting, a new venue, a new church that I haven't been in. I can feel that, but I know that feeling. I understand it. I know that's just my body, and that's just my mind. And so I just overcome that and just plow through that and do what I do. Hello. You know, they train people. This is interesting. It's way off what we're talking about here, but I guess it does connect. Like special ops and people like SEAL Team 6 that went over there and took out Osama bin Laden. Those guys go through a massive amount of psychological training to understand how their body works in crisis situations, to understand how their emotions work and how adrenaline starts shooting through your body and makes you shake. And they understand when the shaking starts, it doesn't mean they're afraid. It's actually a safety mechanism. So they learn to work with those feelings. It's like a defense mechanism in them. And that shaking was getting at it. Your adrenaline starts pumping through your body because you need extra strength. And what you need to do is focus now on what you're going to do and use it and channel it, as it were. And you just need to understand that's the body. That's the way your body operates. But the problem is sometimes we go the other extreme, and it's fight or flight, you know. We want to run, and actually that nurse is coming so you can fight. Are you out there? Don't act the wrong way on that. Y'all out there. Need to understand that. Because what you think when you start feeling that nervousness, you start thinking you're a coward. And that's a lie. You're not a coward. That's natural. That's your body. That's your emotions. That's your mind. When your hands start shaking, your lips start quivering, your knees start knocking, you think you're just a fearful coward. No, you're not. That's your body reacting to a situation. That's all that is. Like I always say, if your knees knock, kneel on them. If your lips quiver, just quiver out Jesus. Quiver out a prayer. God's not listening to see if you stutter when you say something. He's listening to see if you're going to believe him and trust him. He's listening for the words that you're saying, the actions that you do. We are committed to do things and say things. We can't commit to feelings. Feelings come and go. I can't control them. Are you out there? But feelings don't determine who I am. And just because I'm shaking a little nervous in a situation doesn't mean I'm a coward. It's what I do in the situation that determines that. Are you with me? And what I say. Whether I stand my ground or don't. And God wants to help you stand your ground. Amen. Do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord, next verse says, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep you from being caught. Your foot from being caught. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. So he's saying you're going to feel fear, but don't be afraid of fear. That almost sounds like a double negative or something, but really it's true. When the feeling comes, don't worry about it. Everybody feels that way. Yeah, but I felt so intimidated. I felt so unable and unequipped, and I felt so inadequate. Well, join a club. Everybody does. Everybody feels that way. Anything new, you feel that way. Don't act on it. Amen? Act on the word. Hallelujah. You know, fear and trouble are sporadic, and they are random. They come, they go. God's help and strength and deliverance is constant. He never changes. That's just sporadic. That comes and goes. Fear comes and goes. God's strength and his help, it's always there. It's a constant in our life. Amen? That's what you need to hang on to. Hey, Proverbs, well, don't turn there. If you're writing notes, you might write this down. Proverbs 24:21 says, meddle not, says, fear the Lord and the king, and do not associate or meddle with those that are given to change. Everybody say change. Now, some translations talk about that verse and say that change their loyalties. They're constantly, you know, they're all of a sudden they're for this, and now they're for that, and they believe this year, but this next year they don't believe that, they believe something else. But the whole point is change. Always constantly changing. Never constant, never stay in the same. You know, God doesn't change. Are you with me? He's always good. He always loves you. He's always for you. He'll always be there. That's the way we need to be. No situation, no pain, no crisis, no bad report should change who we are. We're going to believe God. That's what we're going to do. So this happened and so that happened. So I feel this way and next day I feel that way. Well, whatever the case, I'm going to trust God. Amen? Oh man, this happened. I don't believe God anymore. Or this happened. I quit going to church. Or this happened and I quit reading my Bible. Or this happened and I left my wife. I'm going to get another one. Are you out there? I'm not condemning anybody. In fact, I don't know if you've been married before or not, but whoever you're married to now, you're stuck. Stay with them. Hallelujah. Can't unscramble eggs, can't undo the past, but you got to quit being given to change constantly, up one day and down the next. You know, wake up in a new world every day. Come on, we got to stop that stuff. You can't be a responsible dad or a husband or a son or a mother or a wife or a daughter. You can't be a responsible person if we're given to change constantly with the wind. As the wind blows, we change. And the rain, no. We got to be constant. We can't let something that's happened to us change who we are and change God's word and change our direction. Don't let fear rob you, distract you, take your focus off what God wants to do in your life. Hallelujah. He wants to bless you. Amen. He wants to help you. See, reality and the whole truth and the whole reality of a matter cannot be defined in a moment or just seen in one event. It consists of more than one instance or one circumstance. This happened, okay, I understand that, but that's not all. That's not all reality. It may be real, but it's not all reality. It's not total. It may be a thing that happened to you, but it's not everything. Making sense? It may be a truth, but it's not the whole truth. We're not denying bad news. We're not denying a tragedy. We're not denying a crisis. But what we're denying is that it's the total reality. That it's the whole truth. Whatever happened may be a page in your life, but it's not the whole book. It may be a scene in the play, but it's not the whole play. Are you out there? It may be a verse, but it's not the whole psalm. We need to stay focused on what God's doing. Turn to Psalms 112. 112. This is good. Hallelujah. Don't let fear rule your life. Don't let some tragedy, some crisis, some bad event, some feeling steal your focus. Hallelujah. Psalms 112, verse 7. You can read the whole psalm. It's an awesome song. It talks about being blessed. Talks about a righteous man being blessed and wealth and riches are in his house and so on and so forth. The 7th verse says this: He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. In other words, he's not distracted. He can't be sidestepped and sideswiped and sucker punched. And he's fixed. He's focused on trusting the Lord. So when evil tidings come, he doesn't go squirrel. He's fixed. He's focused. This is a blessed man. In fact, this whole psalm is about a man that's blessed. Blessed is the man, blessed man. If you want to be blessed, then you need to get your heart fixed and focused on one thing, and that one thing is trusting God. Hallelujah. We are going to trust God. I don't know all the myriad, millions of things that may happen in your life. It's too varied to even second guess. I don't know. We're all different. We all have different things happen. I don't know all the events that will take place, all the words you're going to hear, all the reports you're going to read. But one thing must be plain and must be clear, and you need to get it straight. You need to fix your heart that whatever happens, you're going to trust the Lord. Fear may come, but we're going to trust God. Tragedy may hit, but we're going to trust God. My heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. I will not be afraid of evil tidings, bad news, job-related, marriage-related, mentally-related, physically, health-related, bad reports, bad news. Are you out there? I'm going to trust God. Hallelujah. See, what you see from this verse is that being afraid will keep you from trusting God. being afraid of an evil, believing the evil report instead of what God says. Because that's really what it boils down to. If the evil report comes and you believe it, then that means you cease to believe the promise of God that says you're going to be okay. Isn't that right? It's a crossroads that we're standing at to believe the negative or believe the positive. In this case, believe what the devil's throwing at us or believe what God's saying. Believe the feeling we're feeling, which is temporary and it will pass. Believe the event that took place. You know, I'm amazed that people live their whole life thinking they're a failure because they failed. Failure is an event, not a person. You failed, I failed, we've all failed. But that's not who I am. Are you out there? It's because you messed up, you failed, you didn't complete a task, and you didn't finish something, or you didn't, or you sinned even. You know, that's not who you are. That's what happened to you. You can repent of sin. And you can get back up if you failed. If you've fallen, righteous man falls seven times, the Bible says, he rises again. Woohoo! Just rise, get back up. Failure is not me, it's not a person, it's what happened. I'm not a failure. I'm a child of the living God. New creature in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And we need to understand that. We need to fix our heart, trust in God. Fear will distract your attention and unfix and unfocus your heart. You need to keep your heart fixed and focused. You must not be afraid of evil tidings, as Jesus said, fear not. I love that. You know, there's a case in Mark 5th chapter after he healed that woman with the issue of blood. Remember that? It started out, this man named Jairus, who was a ruler of a synagogue, came to Jesus, fell down at his feet and says, my daughter lies at home at the point of death. Come lay your hands on her and she shall live. That's a faith statement. Jesus got up and went with him. And on his way, this woman with the issue of blood came behind him. The Bible says there was a certain woman who had an issue of blood many years and spent all that she had, was none the better, but rather grew worse. You know what I'm talking about? Thank God for doctors. But sometimes you go and you spend all your money and you don't get any better. And they're doing all they can do, and we're for doctors and we're for medicine, and thank God for all they can do. Sometimes you get a lot of help from doctors. But in this case, it didn't. It didn't help her. Spent all she had, been to many physicians, was none better, but rather grew worse. She heard of Jesus. Hallelujah. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. She said in her heart, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Well, he comes by on his way to Jairus' house. And she comes in through the press, the Bible says, and grabs his garment. And virtue or power comes out of him into her. And she felt in her body that she was healed of her plague. And Jesus immediately turned and said, who touched me? And the woman, fearing and trembling, fell down before him and said, I did it. And Jesus said, woman, thy faith has made thee whole. Now he's still with this man, Jairus, going to his house. And so he's walking along, and before they get to the house, people from Jairus' house come to Jesus and say, they say to Jairus, don't trouble the master any further. Your daughter is dead. Now, that's a bad report, if there ever was one. It's fascinating what Jesus said. He turned to him. And he said, fear not, only believe. Now, do you mean not feel anything? Are you kidding me? You think that man, is the daddy of that daughter's not going to feel like a shell of a man in that moment when they say that? You don't think he's shaking from top of his head to tip of his toe? You don't think his mind's not reeling and rocking like a ship tossed in the sea at that moment when that word came? He can't control that. Are you with me? But that wasn't what Jesus was asking him. He's asking him not to act on it. Just keep believing. You just keep going with me. I need you now. Don't stop now. We're almost there. You hang on here. You keep believing me. We'll get your daughter alive. Don't you worry about that. But you got to look to me. You got to trust me. Don't fear. Only believe. Y'all catching this? You may be shaking, but you better shake out Jesus. Let's don't stop now. There's no room for both of these things. That feeling you're feeling, those thoughts that are coming to you, you're going to have to push them aside. And I'll help you walk if you start quivering. If you start to fall, I'll grab you. I'm right here with you. But we're going to the house and we're going to get your daughter healed. I need you to believe. Don't fear. Only believe. Only believe. And it says, as soon as Jesus heard. I love that. As soon as Jesus heard the negative report, He turned and said, "Fear not, only believe." See, we got to be that quick. As soon as we hear, as soon as we feel, as soon as the shaking, a whole lot of shaking going on here, like Elvis would say, as soon as the fear comes, as soon as the feeling comes, as soon as the bad report comes, we need to say, "I'm going to believe God." Amen. God's Word says this. I know what you're saying, but I'm believing God. I know what's going on here. I see that going on. I'm not denying that, but I'm not going to get sidetracked here. You're not going to pick my pocket. No, sir. Hello. I'm going to believe God. And, of course, the story goes on. Jesus went into that. They laughed. They laughed him to scorn. Jesus said, "The daughter's not dead. She sleeps." And those people laughed at Jesus, made fun of him. And he took the man and he took his wife and he went in and he pushed everybody else out of the house. He got the doubt out. Got all those negative people, negative thoughts out. Sometimes you've got to do the same thing. Listen, you can't hang around people that are always negative, always, you know, fatalistic, always thinking for the worst. You can't hang around people like that and stay on top of it yourself. You need to hang around people that'll believe with you, that, you know, that believe in you and that believe in God, that know how to pray. And, you know, because you're just going to be a product of who you're around. That's all. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight's in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. Because he's not walking with the sinner and standing in the... Are you with me? He's not sitting in the seat of the scornful. He's not putting up with all that. He's not hanging around all that negativity. His delight's in the law of the Lord. Amen? Well, he went in there and he reached out to the daughter and said, "Daughter, arise," and she did. Hallelujah. Because they believed. Not because they didn't feel fear, but they didn't act on it. Not because they didn't hear the bad report. No, because their heart was fixed, trusting the Lord. Because they weren't distracted with all the stuff that comes and all the scenarios that can happen and all the people you know that died, went under, didn't make it when you're going through the same thing. You've been watching way too many soap operas. Hello. You need to get in the Word. Amen. Hey, turn to Psalm 46. We'll wrap this up. Is this helping anybody? Oh, hallelujah. Let me find it. Yeah, Psalm 46. In fact, I'll just read the whole thing. Is that okay? It's not a very long psalm. It's only about 11 verses. It talks about distractions. It talks about things that go on in life. And first verse says, a song for a while ago. So it says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." I believe that. How about you? A refuge is where you run to when problems hit. Strength is what you call on when you seem like you're weak and you can't make another step and can't live another day. He's a very help, present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Therefore, why? Well, you know, when you see a therefore, you ought to stop and see what's there for. You ought to go back up. So therefore what? In light of what? In light of God being our refuge and our strength and a very present help in trouble, we will not fear. With that information, I don't have to fear. Even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah, which means stop and think about that. Even although that's happening, my whole earth, the whole world is crumbling before my eyes. Everything is falling to pieces. I will not fear. God is my refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. In the midst of all that, fourth verse, there is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. King James says, and that right early. I love that King James. I don't know. It just sounds poetic, you know. God shall help her in that right early. He will come. He will show up. He always does. He'll undergird me. He always does. He'll come through and he'll sustain me and uphold me with his righteous right hand. He always has and he always will. So let the earth shake. Let the waters roar. Let the devil holler and let the wind blow. We've heard the wind blow before. Amen. Sixth verse says, the nations raged, the king was removed, he uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah, stop and think about that. In other words, in the midst of your trouble, in the midst of the evil report, in the midst of the shaking, in the midst of the fear that you feel, the Lord of hosts is our refuge. Stop and think about that. Then he says, come, behold the works of the Lord who has made desolations in the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow, cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. In other words, he stops all the chaos. He stills the storm. And here it is. Boy, this is good. 10th verse. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Stop and think about that. Man, I love that. See what happens when the shaking starts and the fear hits? You need to stop and you need to get still. You need to back up. Look at the big picture here. You need to know that He is God. You need to bow your knee to Him, not to this. Not to this pain, not to this bad report, not to this crisis, not to this tragedy. No, we bow our knee to Him. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. I know that's concerning eternal life and being saved and your sins be forgiven, but I like to look at it this way, that we need to confess that Jesus is Lord and nothing else. We need to bow our knee to Him and nothing else. When sickness comes, we don't need to bow our knee to it. When tragedy comes, we don't need to bow our knee to it. When a bad report comes, we don't need to bow our knee and confess that it's Lord over us, that it's going to change our future and our destiny. No, we need to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we need to bow our knee to Him. Our future is in His hands if we'll allow Him to move in our lives. Our future is in His hands if we will stand on the promises of God. Hallelujah. And I choose to say Jesus is Lord, not depression. Jesus is Lord, not sickness. Jesus is Lord, not poverty. Jesus is Lord, not this bad report. I confess who my Lord is and who I submit to and who I bow my knee to, and I will not bow my knee to this tragedy. I will bow my knee to God Almighty. And this tragedy will pass. And Jesus will come through like He always does. Hallelujah. I will not be distracted. I'm not going to have my pocket picked. The devil's not going to steal, kill, and destroy me. I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. Amen.